Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Good morning, church. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Lord, as we come before you this morning, You did change everything. Lord, we were lost without you. Lord, we were slaves to sin. Lord, we have no hope. We had no knowledge of you. Lord, we were lost. Lord, we were lost in our sin. Lord, and we didn't even know we were lost until you sent your Son. Lord, the nature of you, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we give thanks to you. The Father above all fathers, Lord, the example of perfect love, kindness, mercy, Lord, you show to us by sending your only Son. Father, we thank you for that gift, how the blood of Jesus changed everything. Now we have hope. Now in this fallen world, we can be the light and do your will in this world. And not only that, Lord, but we have a hope of eternal life that is to come. Lord, we are not a people without hope. We are a people rooted in hope, for we have you. As your word says, Lord, we were brought near by your blood. Lord, let us grab hold of you this morning. Lord, all of us are going through something this morning, but in your house, you rule your reign. And Lord, and let your will be done among us as your people. Lord, thank you for the church. Thank you for your blood. And as we move forward with you in this new season, Lord, guide us. Show us your way, Lord, because we love you because you first loved us. And all the saints said, amen. It's great to be in the house of God with you. A happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. We want to wish you a great Father's Day. A thank you for leading your families to the Lord. It is stated that when a father attends church on a regular basis, the family, 90% of the time, attends as well. Amen. So it is great to see our fathers leading their families into the Lord. And a special thank you to our staff for all their hard work they have done this week and all the hard work they do. So a special thank you to our staff. They work very hard to do the things of the Lord and the work of the kingdom at this campus. Are you blessed this morning? Are you awake? And that's good, because we have to be awake to receive the word of God. Amen. We have to be awake. We have to be, our minds must be alert. And it's very important. What I have learned through my life, if you're awake, more than likely you're going to hear something. Amen? More than likely you're going to learn. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. So as we are honoring our earthly fathers, I want to look at our heavenly Father. Isn't it great to know that the God of all the universe, the God of all things, who created all things, that we can call him Father. That we can have a relationship with God and not have to call him God, but call him Father. And we have access to the God of all things, the creator of all things, who holds all things in his hands, who created us and created this world for us and for Christ to be revealed to us. We have access to this great individual, this great God, and we can call him Father. We can cry, Abba, Father. Amen? And we can call upon him right now this morning. So I want to look at the scriptures so we can fully comprehend and understand what great gift we have to call him Father. So let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. Paul is saying here in verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, as we talked about fear last week, that we did not hear fear from God. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So we have not the spirit of fear we've been given by God, but we have the spirit of adoption. And that means in a spiritual sense that we've been grafted into the promises of God and into the kingdom of God through the blood of Jesus. As Paul says in Romans, that we were grafted into the family of God, that the original branches were broken off so that we may be grafted in, that lest we should boast and become prideful in ourselves and take for granted this great gift, that we have this example before us and we've been grafted in, adopted into the family of God. Verse 16, the Spirit within us, the Spirit also bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and I love this, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Not only are we children of God, but we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. As the scripture says, just as he is, so are we in this world. We're grafted into the promises of God through Christ Jesus. We're now joint heirs with Christ. As the scripture says, that I'm being molded, I'm being pressed into the same image of Christ. We are heirs of God's promises. We are heirs with Abraham, the promises of Abraham through Jesus Christ. And we can call ourselves joint heirs to the promises of God. That is good news. That is good news. So no matter what you're going through, no matter how you feel, because we don't always feel like Christians, amen? We don't always feel victory. But when we study God's word and look into his word, we see a reflection of his perfection staring back at us, that we are being formed into this image of Christ, and we're joint heirs with the Lord. And as the scripture goes on, it says, if. Now, anytime you see if, that means there is something, a condition to that. That means God's always going to do his part, but if is a condition, now it lies on us. And it says this, if indeed we suffer with him. Now, no one likes that word suffer, amen? We don't like that word in church. We don't like that word at all. But the suffering Paul's talking about is the suffering of our flesh, crucifying our flesh as Christ was crucified in his flesh, to do the will of the Father. We take up our cross and we follow him. Those who belong to the Lord have crucified their passions and desires to the cross, that we may be also glorified together. There's so much there, church. I challenge you to go back and study for yourself what Paul is saying here. But what he is saying is that we've been adopted into the body of Christ. We've been adopted into the family of God. Now we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. But we must take up our cross and we must follow him. Now that we understand this, let's go further into this understanding, because the scripture tells us exactly what Jesus did for us and why we can call ourselves joint heirs with Christ. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. I just love learning about our Heavenly Father. He's so good, and he's so merciful, and he's so powerful, and he's loving towards us. Paul says in verse 11, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles, that means those outside the promise, we were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what was called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, as we know of the Old Testament, the law, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. So without Christ, we have no hope. We have nothing. We're not connected to God. We're not connected to his promises. Without Christ, we are lost, floating in this world, trying to seek some sort of satisfaction that can't be found in this world. That's why it's so important for us as a church to understand where we were and what we've come out of, so we can be the light to people who are desperate and searching in this world. This world, there's so much going on right now. Wars, rumors of wars, chaos, unrest, but yet God is on his throne. God has no plan B. He has plan A, redemption through his son, and his will be done. And so without Christ, we had no hope. But I love here, you see in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus. That totally negates everything that Paul wrote before. All that's been done away with in Christ Jesus. All that's been done away with. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought what? Near by the blood of Jesus. So despite our sins, while we were sinners, Christ died for our sins. God didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. The law told us we were sinners. We couldn't do it ourselves. We couldn't have redemption. We failed every possible way. We failed. But in Christ Jesus, he came out of love, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That means the only son originating from the Father. That means more sons, more children are to come. And now in Christ, we've been brought near. So if I'm brought near something, I must apprehend it, right? I must apprehend it. If I'm brought near, then I must apprehend it and draw it closer to me. That's what we must do every day in our walk with the Lord. We must apprehend and bring closer our relationship with God. We must carve out time for him. We must go to him. We must seek him above all else. And if we will seek him, he is faithful and he is just and he is there. We're never beyond just a simple Father. He's there. In the old covenant, you couldn't do that. You could not access God. You had to offer a sacrifice. Something had to die and bleed. And then when you set the body on fire, when the smoke went up, that's when you could pray. And only then God would receive your prayers and he would forgive your sins for that moment, but we would sin again. We would keep on sinning. But the blood of Jesus ended all sacrifices and has brought us near. So if we are near something, then we get to know something, right? If we're close to something, then something is going to be revealed. So who is the Father? Well, let's go to John chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. Write this down. Go back. Study the whole chapter. As Jesus is making some powerful statements here. I love what he says here. Verse 7, he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, know him and have seen him. And Philip, of course, we know Philip. His disciple Philip is asking this question. He said, Lord, show us the Father. It is sufficient for us to understand. What Philip is saying is, we deserve to see the Father. In verse 9, Jesus, I love this, what he says. He says, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Have we served the Lord so long? Have we studied his scriptures so long that we don't truly know him? Amen? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? That's a very powerful statement. What he's saying is the Father is in him. When he was walking on earth, the Father dwelt in him. A lot of people say who don't believe in God's word and don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, they say, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God in Scripture. Yes, he did. Many times. And what he's telling us here is that the Father, the God of all the universe, dwelt in him. And the Spirit of God was in him. It's a powerful thing. And the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, guess what? Is in us. Is in us. We have access to it. The same Spirit that the earth shook and that big old rock, that stone was rolled away, and Jesus walked out defeating death, that same Spirit lies within us. Jesus goes on to say, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. What we see here is a declaration from Christ that the Father is in him and was in him. You know, it's sad to me in this world, this lost world, that people having full access to the church in America still do not believe in God. There's people that want to say that Jesus was not the Son of God. It is difficult for me to comprehend and understand that. But church, we are the church, a reflector of God's nature and God's character and who he is. That means when it rains and pours and storms like it did a week or so ago, we emerge greater than what we went into it. The world is looking at us and saying, where is the proof of your God? And the proof of our God is in this, that we have peace when no one else has peace. We have victory when no one else has victory. We love when everyone else hates. We have patience when everyone is impatient. And we have destiny when everyone else is lost and searching for it. We don't sell our souls for things that are temporary because we have given our lives to the Lord. That is where Jesus lives. And that is our testimony in this world. Amen? The power of God is seen in us. That's why Jesus was saying everything he did, everything he spoke, wasn't on his authority, but was the Father who dwelt in him. Jesus is making a powerful statement right there. The Father, the character of the Father, was being revealed through Jesus Christ. So when his disciples said, show us your Father, Jesus saying, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You hear my words, you're hearing the Father. You know me, you know the Father. Because I and my Father are one. That's a powerful thing that Jesus was saying. And as the Father is revealed, when someone is revealed to us, then we begin to know his character. The character of God. Who is God? What is his character? If the Father dwells in Jesus and the Father is revealed in everything that Jesus did and said, then we know his character. James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 gives us a beginning understanding of this character. Now, God's character is infinite. A couple verses is not going to give us the whole story to who God's character is. But this is a good jumping off point for us to understand. Verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow turning. James has given us a whole lot here in verse 17. So, every good and perfect gift is from above. So that means everything in your life that you see as good, wholesome, perfect, is from God. Those moments in your life when you have that moment when everything seems to have come together in just one moment and you feel like, this is a great moment. This feels great. You feel the love of a child. You feel the love of your spouse, the love of parents. That is from God. This world has nothing to give us. Nothing. It takes from us. From the moment we are born, the world begins to take from us. Take, take, take. Because it's a fallen world. God gives, gives, and gives. So every good thing in your life is from God, believer or non-believer. So those moments in your life when you're like, this moment is a great moment. That's from God. It's a gift. And perfect. Now that word perfect is so misunderstood because we think perfect means without flaws. But what the writer, what James is saying, if we look the word up in the Greek, because we see the word perfect all the time in the New Testament, it means complete. Every complete gift is from God. So we look around this morning, church, even in the midst of heartache, in the midst of trial and tribulation, we can find good and perfect, complete gifts from God. None of us in this building is without pain, without hurt. We have all gone through something because of this fallen world. But in Christ, we have been united with the Lord and now heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that every good and perfect gift we experience is from the Father. What an amazing thing when you stop and think about that. This morning, I was reflecting on my father, who passed away in last July. And I was reflecting because for the first time in my life, I didn't text him or call him about Father's Day. I didn't wish him a happy Father's Day. But it was in that moment that I realized that what is good and perfect, maybe death seems to be so empty and steals from us. In that moment with the Lord, my Heavenly Father, I realized everything my Father wanted for me, I'm walking in. And that my Heavenly Father is not going anywhere. And that separation is only temporary. And the Father is there to fill that hole that this life brings us sometimes. And He is there to be our Father. Just as tangible as our earthly fathers, just as present as our earthly fathers, He is there waiting for us to come near Him by His Son's blood. What a Father. I think of Abraham as Abraham. God told Abraham, as we know the story, Abraham and Sarah were praying for a son. They had Ishmael, but that's a whole nother sermon altogether. Then they finally had Isaac. And years later, God commanded or asked. He didn't command. He asked Isaac to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And we know from Scripture, Abraham said, "Yes, Lord." And the next day, they went on the journey. And God told Abraham, "Go to a place that I will tell you to go." And when they came to that mountain, God said, "All right, here." So we know Isaac was probably between 20 and 30 years old. He wasn't a child. Abraham was an older man. So Abraham said, "Isaac, all right, this is the place. Let's go make an offering." His servant, Abraham's servant, stayed. So as we see in our pictures, going up this mountain, up this hill, we had Abraham couldn't carry the sticks to make the fire. So Isaac carried the sticks. And they built the altar, and Isaac said, "I don't see a sacrifice. Where's the lamb? I don't see it." Abraham said, "The Lord will provide." So Abraham tied Isaac, Isaac put himself on the altar, and we know that God provided a sacrifice. But what is so powerful about that illustration is this, that Isaac was a type of Christ to come. That as he was carrying the wood, years, hundreds of years later, Jesus is carrying the cross to the point of his death. And Isaac willingly was offering himself as a sacrifice, as Christ willingly offered himself as a sacrifice for all sins. And the father, Abraham, offered his son as God offered his son for us. But the difference is this. God didn't pull Jesus off the cross. God poured out his wrath upon sin, upon his son, so that we may know God as Father. There was a great price for us to be paid to know God as Father. And church, this morning, we have that ability. The Father is perfect and loving in every way. And he loves each and every one of you. And he has opened up his kingdom for us to learn and grow in him, that one day we will be with him forever and there will be no separation. So if we're going to live with someone forever, don't you think it is good to know them? We will live in complete faith with the Father, knowing that 5 billion years into eternity, the Father one day is not going to say, "Oh, I'm tired of seeing your face. Go away." Amen? He's not going to say that. Because he's perfect, he's loving, he's merciful, and he's here for us. So church, as we have this time of reflection and prayer, I ask you to seize opportunity this morning to draw the Father closer to you. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we thank you first and foremost for your sacrifice of yourself, of your body and your blood, so that we can be brought near the Father. And Father, we come before you this morning having this great opportunity to call you Father, to be able, as Paul said, have the spirit of adoption whom we cry, Abba Father, Daddy Father. Lord, you are there with us. And we cling to you. We pull you close in this world that is full of chaos, wars and rumors of wars, unrest. You said these things would happen, but we should not lose hope because in you there's always hope. And we cling to you this morning. We cling to your promises. We cling to your word. And we call you Father. Lord, let everyone know you this morning in that way, because it's so beautiful to be able to call upon you and say, Father, I need you. Lord, bless everyone here. Your precious name. Our Father is so good. He's so loving. He's so merciful. He sent forth his Son. Now, we hear that all the time, but do we really comprehend the weight of that gift of salvation? What Jesus did was he pulled us into the Father's arms. He pulled us into a relationship to make us joint heirs with him. So this morning, as we go forth from this place, let's pull the Father near to us, because we've been brought near to him. Let's surrender everything that hinders us from fully selling out to the Lord. And let's go and live this life in the reflection of God's love and mercy. Let's make most of every moment we have, every second we have, let's make most of it. As we leave this place to go into our lives, go knowing that God loves you and God has sent forth his Son to bring you in. And so happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Have a blessed week, and let's come back next week ready to serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.